From Deutsche Welle, this is Melody Time. We invite you to join us for half an hour of light classical music. Hello and welcome once again to Melody Time. I'm Paul Benderlo. Our first piece of music today is the overture to one of Gioachino Rossini's most famous operas, Guillaume Tell, or William Tell, as it's known in English. William Tell turned out to be Rossini's last opera, although he was only 38 when he wrote it. Not that he folded his hands for the rest of his life. In Paris, where he eventually settled, his home became a centre of artistic and intellectual life. And as Rossini was also an enthusiastic cook, his visitors could look forward to an excellent meal as well. Philharmonia Orchestra of London, conducted by Riccardo Muti, playing the overture to Rossini's last opera, William Tell. The theme of the opera is the heroic fight for independence by the Swiss archer William Tell against the Austrian Habsburgs. It's never been properly established to what extent the life of William Tell is based on truth, but the endless stories and plays related to his exploits do reflect the political situation of the time. The birth of Switzerland as an independent confederation can be traced back almost 700 years to the time when the cantons of Schwyz, Uri and Lower Unterwalden first formed the Everlasting League, as it was known, to defend themselves against the Habsburgs. The fight for political freedom is also the theme of one of Karl Millerke's operettas. In his work Der Bettelstudent, The Beggar Student, the setting is 18th century Saxony. It was a time when Saxony was occupied by Poland, and Friedrich August was King of Poland and Elector of Saxony. The brilliant libretto duo Zell and Genet took this historical setting and wove around it a captivating story of love and politics, which Millerke set to lively and sophisticated music. All in all, a successful operetta. Rounded off with a happy end.
Was wäre ich? sie weiß noch nicht.
Und Moses bezeugt es nicht mit ihm ein.
Ein Kind, das geht ja nicht.
Warum denn nicht? Das geht ja nicht.
Ein Kind, dem Irrtum ist fatal, ein Herzog wurde dein Mann. Drum lass ihn dir nicht rauben.
Ein Herzog soll nicht glauben. Ob Herzog hier, ob etwas sei, ich bin sein Weib.
Was da will geschehen?
Jetzt lache freudig, wird Gefahr. Bring, wenn es nur dein Leben nach. Das Schicksal hat dich aus Versehen gebohlen, weil du uns zu stehen.
That was the finale of the operetta The Beggar Student by Karl Millerke, performed by the choir of Radio Leipzig and the Leipzig Radio Symphony Orchestra, which is no longer in existence. The conductor was Günter Herbisch. Our next piece of music is called the Pizzicato Polka. In 1869, Johann and Josef Strauss together composed a polka of the same name. Then there's the new Pizzicato Polka from 1893, which is still very popular today. But the one we're going to hear now is yet another one, by the French composer Léo Delibes, who wrote his Pizzicato Polka for the seductive Dance of the Veils in his ballet Sylvia. Pizzicato Polka from the ballet Sylvia by Léo Delibes, performed there by London's Philharmonia Orchestra, conducted by Sir Charles Mackerras. As a result of his sensational Strauss productions in Europe and the USA, the name Erich Wolfgang Korngold is familiar to many people. Korngold was Austrian by birth, but settled in the States in 1935. He was highly respected in Hollywood as composer, pianist, and inspired all-round musical improviser. One thing that's not common knowledge, though, about this very interesting man and very gifted person, is that even as a child, he was seen as a wunderkind. At the age of 11, for example, he performed one of his own compositions at the Vienna Court Opera. His early operas are now largely forgotten, but one has survived the test of time, Die Tote Stadt, The Dead City. It was and remains a success, and here is its most popular melody, Tanzlied des Pierrot, Pierrot's Dance. the Tanzlied des Pierrot from Korngold's opera The Dead City, played there by the ensemble I Salonisti and arranged by Leo Artok. We go now from Korngold to the Can-Can. Around the middle of the last century, the Can-Can took the whole of Paris by storm. Due to its unrestrained and indecorous character, the dance was banned from the conventional dance floor. But on the stage, it was in its element, particularly in operettas by Jacques Offenbach. Offenbach's most famous Can-Can is, of course, from Orpheus in the Underworld. But just for a change, let's hear a different one. And it's every bit as boisterous. It's the one which he wrote for the operetta La Vie Parisienne. The Budapest Strauss Ensemble, conducted by István Bogár, playing the Can-Can from Offenbach's operetta La Vie Parisienne. The famous River Danube is the theme of our last piece of music today. And like the pizzicato polka we heard earlier, this Danube waltz is not by Johann Strauss. The name of the composer is Joseph Ivanovici, and the exact title of his popular waltz melody is Waves of the Danube. Ivanovici was born in Romania and enjoyed enormous popularity during his lifetime as a Kapellmeister. He seemed to have a particular gift for military music, so his fans were greatly surprised to learn that his own great passion was for composing piano music. The Waves of the Danube Waltz was written as a piano composition, but it achieved lasting popularity in its orchestral arrangement. Here once again is the Budapest Strauss Ensemble, under the direction of István Bogár, playing the Waves of the Danube Waltz. The Waves of the Danube by Josef Ivanovici, bringing today's program to a close. Melody Time was compiled by Barbara Anders and produced by Stephanie Giesen. Our studio engineer was Claudia Rack. I'm Paul Benderlow. Do join us if you can for our next edition of Melody Time, a production of Deutsche Welle, Cologne.